Blog Talk Radio.
Accept the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praising before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. This Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians. Listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever He says. So glorify His name, He's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And welcome back to another fantastic journey. And actually, before we get into what we got going on, let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer, a word of day, a word of the day, to say it that way. And that's
right.
That's what it is, you know what I mean?
I feel that. So our word for today, it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. So this is something that my pastor touched on earlier today that I felt was very important and also in due season. So the scripture reads, starting with verse 12, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation or has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond you beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape, that you be able to bear it." Now, I don't want to really dig into this because it is a thick and heavy scripture. But the first thing we want to keep in mind that we're talking about in verse 12, it says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." So you're considering stand and making it layman's terms. Stands is basically in a point or a position. You are in a strong place where you may not, you know, your highs. You are in a good position. Even on those good times in your life when you're walking and you're thinking everything is going right, you still should be watchful. You should be taking heed because at any moment one thing can go wrong and you fall. So many times, even just growing up, some say this is a street phrase or whatever, but you should always keep your eyes peeled, always looking around you. It doesn't matter how good. It's like it's crazy how we as Christians or even people, human beings, we get a victory or we wind up successful, and then we lower our guard. Often in the Christian community, we get a victory over the devil, and we just start celebrating and partying, not realizing that the devil doesn't take a break like that. So yeah, that moment you put your guard down, you're open or vulnerable for another attack. So though I may have been delivered from one instant, one situation, I must keep my eyes peeled for the next. So, example, say one female, like I'm delivered. I'm just this female right here. She didn't get me. She didn't get me. I didn't fall for the traps or the temptation or the lust. I didn't fall into it. But next thing you know, pornography comes on my TV, and I'm watching it. That's a battle I just lost. And I'm watching it, and I'm endeavoring in it, and then slowly but surely, I slip into another female. So the whole thing is we are constantly on guard, constantly dealing with warfare, constantly. Though in the this person didn't get me, or though this instance didn't trick me, or though I turned away from these drugs, what sense does it make if I turn away from these drugs but then I open up to alcohol? Where's my victory? So there has to be a constant keeping your eyes open, being on guard. So the next thing we go into is how the 13th verse says, no temptation has overtaken you except such that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I mean, even in layman terms, one thing I learned today, my pastor was talking about temptation, how temptation itself, the word is, it talks about how temptation could be to be persuaded in one direction by either God or of Satan. So it's talking about how trials and temptations, how things can come up from God and things can come from Satan. But it doesn't matter because the scripture opens up by saying no temptation. So it doesn't matter. You know how some people say, oh, yeah, God testing me, okay? Or some people say, oh, that was of the devil. So we have these different parameters that something is coming. God has sent a test. God is testing me. All right, so if God is testing me, you still got to raise up in a godly mind frame. We know this. So if let's say Satan comes at you. Oh, man, she ain't nothing but the devil. Well, the whole thing is, who are you representing now? Because even though she may be acting like the devil, are you acting like God or are you also acting like the devil? So that's one thing to keep in mind. But also with following, just want to clean something up. A lot of people feel that, oh, man, this is just who I am. It is what it is. I can't conquer this, bro. My daddy smoked, they smoked. There's no way. There's nothing I can do about it. Well, you calling God a liar because the Bible here says that there's no temptation that will overtake you. Not only that, when temptation comes, God will give a way out. So giving a practical example, we can go back to where I said this girl tried to talk to me and I didn't mess with her. Well, my way out, I walked away or I picked up a phone call came in or something like that. So I walked away from her. And then the next thing that came was pornography came on the TV. Remember that was the example. So my way out, I can cut the TV off. I can leave the room. I can get on the phone. It's so much. There is nothing that's going to hold us back. We have options. So now it's being real with yourself and saying that you chose to give in to temptation. You chose this. It wasn't that God set me up for failure or Satan be on me heavy. No, you still have a choice and an option. You have something. You can bring something to the table as well. So with that being said, go ahead.
I was going to say, basically, accept your way out. If that phone ring and you fall into a situation, accept that way out.
Yeah.
Accept it. Don't be like, oh, man, what's going on? Well, how am I getting a phone call right now? I'm in the middle of something. Well, maybe the phone call came in on time for your way out.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's so true, I can tell you instances when I was in the world, how I can remember clearly I'm about to do something I ain't got no business doing. Like if I was messing with a female or going ready to go to a party or even getting ready to cheat on a test. There was so many opportunities for me to not do so. Like, if I brought a girl over, my mama called me. Just something. It would be a point in time, and, you know, I don't want to do nothing wrong with your parent on the phone, you know what I'm saying, or going to the club. Somebody would text me, hey, bro, you come help me with this, or let's go to the gym, let's go to the court, da-da-da. There's been so many times in my life that I can look back and tell you how this scripture is true. So it's up to you to, like you said, accept your way out. Because a lot of us choose otherwise, and we got to start being real about it. We choose to oppose God. Let's be real about it. We choose not to stay up in the standard. So with that being said, we started off talking about how we have to be on guard all the time. There's no slip-up. There's no celebrating, oh, yeah, we delivered from this, and then you come fall. Or my life is just going so good, and all of a sudden life hits you. And you just like, how this happen? It happened because you lowered your guard. You weren't paying attention to the signs. Not only that, you forgot God. Because there are times that God will bless us really, really good. And we get ecstatic in that and we forget God. So because we forgot God, we're no longer listening to him. We're not taking heed to his warnings. And even so, sometimes it takes a big trial or tribulation to get our attention and to get us right back in the faith. So stay on guard. Always evaluating yourself, always looking at yourself, because it's like I even have to look at myself and notice, oh, I'm becoming too busy, I'm not giving God his time. So slowly but surely I'm slipping away, and it takes a lot of work to stay saved. So monitor yourself. How much are you praying? And even with your workload building up, are you still making time for God? Are you making time for your family? Because that's something that's really big. The enemy does want us extremely busy to where we're not spending time with our wives, our brothers, our sisters, our kids, our all this stuff. This is all something that we must take heed to and watch. And also on top of that, now that we're taking heed to it, we must also understand that God has given us a way out. So there's nothing that's going to conquer us. So even if busyness is something that we're dealing with that we have to take heed of, we have to also keep in mind that God has given us a way out. We actually have a choice to step away from the computer, step away from the job, step away from whatever. We have a choice. And the thing comes down, which is greater in your life? Is your family greater or is your pocket greater? Is God greater or your happiness greater? Which one matters to you the most? I'm hoping that it's God, and it's God over your happiness and family over your money. Like, I'm hoping that's what it is. But just like any 12-step program, the first thing is admitting that we have a problem, confessing it. And that comes from the Bible. Confess with your mouth. This is where it all starts. Confess with your mouth.
There it is. Confess with your mouth. Is that a hard concept?
It is. It's like a curse word to some people. Because it's hard for people to even say, I'm sorry, confessing that they're sorry, or confessing that they did wrong, or confessing that they did this. And that's what holds us back. I know I've heard people grown so bitter, or relationships break up, not like break up girlfriend, boyfriend, but like friends for a long time, or family split. They split over he didn't apologize, she didn't apologize, she didn't admit that she did this, or he didn't admit that he did that. So it's so much power with your mouth.
Wait, let me address that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to have family members that's not going to apologize for
right
things that they have done to you.
Right.
So you're going to have to step up. You're
right.
Going to have to step up and learn how to accept that person for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we deal with issues and we try to make it work. We do our
mm-hmm.
best, which is not wrong. But it's the fact that that person, bottom line, to make a long story short, you have to plant the seed. Once you make an attempt to, and that person is mad at you for something, or just want to be apart from the family, is not don't want to be included in things,
mm-hmm.
you have to plant that seed. And after you plant that seed, you have to move on. It's hard, because I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to, you know, plant the seed. And like, okay, maybe I need to do this, or maybe I need to do that. But, you know, in the long run, unfortunately, it is what it is, you know,
yeah.
until that
yeah.
person comes around.
Sure.
You know, it's just weird like that, the way people want to stay away from their family and
mm-hmm.
you know, you would think a person would like, okay, this is my family. I need to, you know, not be on my A game, but family is all you have sometimes. Because you have friends. Your friends can come. Your friends can go. You may
yeah.
have girlfriends. They can come and go. You,
right.
you may be even married. And that's supposed to be
mm-hmm.
the last step in relationships, right? They can
mm-hmm,
come
mm-hmm.
and they can go.
Right.
And if you let that spouse, he or she, ruin your tie to your family, what happens when that person steps out?
Right.
Now you have to come back. You have to humble yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And make your way back in. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
For some people.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
I don't understand it. But, hey, it's a hard thing
to do. I think if if people realize how the body is designed, there would be a lot less problems. And I say that because, okay, the body is designed to help one itself, to compensate for oneself. So, example, if when I sprung my ankle, my left leg got stronger. It got stronger to compensate for the slack in the right leg. Then you had my arms, they got stronger as well because, you know, I'm on crutches. So the whole body started to get stronger to compensate for the weak link. So, and it was no kind of beefing. Like the arm, my hand wasn't mad at my ankle because it was hurt. We know that, my hand knows that if you don't want to be hurt, it hurts. I know you're in pain, and I know you don't want to be like that. So instead of me pointing that out, I'm just going to help you until you get back right. So with that being said, the body is a give-give. The hand, the feet are designed to give the body, you know, stability and to walk and this and that. And the arms are designed to give the body grappling moves and lifting things. So the whole body knows to give to each other. And because they keep giving to one another, nobody lacks what it needs. So the same thing, if we as people, because we are the body of Christ, if we were to give, there would be no lack. So example, let's say if I'm designed to give Lamont, or, you know, whenever I get extra food, I'm going to give Lamont my food and I'm going to give Lamont my drink. So I give it to him. And Lamont is designed, whenever he get extra, he's going to give it to me. So if we're constantly giving to one another, then what are we lacking? What are we lacking? And that's just a rough example, but that's just like if I give somebody love and they give me love, we're constantly giving love. If I'm giving you forgiveness and you giving me forgiveness, then there, where's the hate at? If we're constantly giving one another what God is telling us to give one another, then this whole world wouldn't lack anything. If I was to love you as I'm supposed to love myself and you're loving me as I love yourself, then that means we're giving each other the love that we both desire.
Yeah.
So I'm not, if I know that love is not cursing you out. I know this. I know love is forgiving you or not holding a grudge against you when you mess up. And you know this too. So you're doing that same thing. We're both doing it to one another. How is it that our family's going to rift? How can we be as split when we're constantly doing the cycle of giving? So it's definitely, like I said, it's if we can realize that much about one another, that we need each other and we're to treat each other with that love and respect and to give it, then where will we lack? How will we lack?
It's an interesting twist on that. No, not a twist, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Way to shine a light on that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've been away for a little bit. Well, last week, you know, you guys had a encore show. There has been some changes in my life.
Yeah.
There has been an addition to the family. I've gone from a family of four to a family of five. So I have a brand new baby girl, which is now a week old.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Are you going to let them talk to you?
So, you know, we're trying to sneak in sleep. She's very active. Very, very active. But it's a blessing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you feel? How do you feel being a, you know, and it's three girls, right?
Three girls.
Mm.
And I'm at the point of, okay, this stuff has to work. I need to start getting paid. majorly of all my endeavors. You know, I get paid on my gigs, but I'm just saying, like, in a major way now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not getting younger type deals.
I feel you.
Yeah. So, yeah, the stuff, everything has to step up a notch.
I feel that.
Yeah, so.
Man, that's big. So are you getting ready to take off on any, you know, how you're doing all these plays, you're doing so much, so does that mean that you're getting ready to break for a little bit?
Well, not really. I actually have to go harder, man. I took a week off from everything.
Mm-hmm.
We shot a trailer for the play that we're doing. We did that on Friday.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I actually have to go harder, you know. I got to provide, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It has to, I have to go at it hard, put it like that.
Yeah, that's good.
And I look at it like how these other entertainers do it when they have full families, but they travel in and out of the state.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not traveling in and out of state, but it has to work.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel you.
It's, you know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at.
I ain't mad at you.
Yeah, something has to kick in. But it will, you know.
Yeah, it definitely will. You put in, I mean, you're going to reap what you sow. So when you put in so much hard work, I mean, you got no choice to get back a harvest, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, so how has things going on your end with your play? And we have the anticipated date that's coming up, release date.
Definitely, man. So everybody, we have... I'm in this play called The Final Decision. It's really been a lot going on with that as far as the rehearsals and balancing, you know, poetic lace as well as family time and everything like that. But The Final Decision is an awesome play. It's coming down to there are decisions that we all have to make. And a lot of those decisions could possibly be your final decision. So I don't want to give too much on the script or whatever, but just know it's a banger. I'm one of the leads in this play, so it's just know we always bring in our best. October 22nd, which is 2 days away, man, it's going to be a release of Soul Therapy, which is my new single. The single is so, so good. You know how a lot of people say, yeah, my song hot, man, it's good. I'm not saying that it's hot like, oh, this is, you know, like it's good because it's me. I'm really saying that because of how much power is going to be behind this. I'm expecting a change in many people's lives. This song is set to release, like I said, this Tuesday, and it's going to be a single as well as the music video. The music video is going to be releasing via Vevo, but you can also go on YouTube and search it because Vevo and YouTube partner, but Vevo is the releasing place. Music video was directed by Will Thomas of Space Cherry Films, and as you know, they are the biggest and the best, number one right now, Christian video company in the industry. So, and Paul Dempaski, he actually did the mix and mastering on the music itself, which is he is like one of the best engineers in the industry as well. So, and I'm not saying this because I work with them. I'm literally saying this because before I got with them, their clientele, you guys talking about working with The Truth and Ernest Pugh, Lil Wayne. Like, this is just crazy nice. So
this is what they do.
This is what they do. So We thank God for that. So I'm excited to let y'all see it. The single itself will be releasing on iTunes, Amazon, all music digital stores. And like I said, the music video itself, you can also catch everything www.poeticlace.com. Just in case you get confused on trying to find anything, go straight to my website and you're going to see it. So I'm excited. And just to let y'all know, we definitely will be bumping it on this show. So we got a lot to look forward to.
All right. Also, for you guys, if you want to check out stuff that we're doing with my production stuff, it's under www.sun-rise-productions.com. So you go there and you can see what's going on with everything I have going on my end. So you guys got to keep a tab on what's going on. There's a lot of stuff happening.
Definitely.
And plus, I've been back in the gym, so I had to get myself together. Healthy.
That's
got to get healthy. And not just, you know, working out, eating healthy, too. That goes along with it. Because you work out, you might build muscle mass, but not lose weight. So you might still have that weight, but maybe just in a different tone.
Yeah, you get mad. This is for some people who've been working out and they notice that they're getting heavier. It's not the fact you're not necessarily getting fat, but the whole thing is that muscle weighs more than fat. So you're definitely not burning anything but building muscle. Of course, you're going to gain weight because of your muscle mass, the muscle weight itself. So don't stop working out because you feel like, oh, I'm gaining all this weight. No. Muscle weighs more than fat.
Absolutely. So what we're going to do is, we got some stuff coming up. Interview that's supposed to be happening today. Also, we got another song by Lace that's another, was that Hot Fire. And so what we're going to do is we're going to get into a song, and then we'll come back with more here on the Covenant Cafe. And the song selection for right now is Jay Brown with Stan here on the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Welcome back.
Millions of people searching the world, high in the mountain, deep in the ocean, spinning in circles, looking for love. Anticipation, heartbeat is racing, though there's 6,000 obstacles in the way. Not even one can crush your faith. Principle. 8 billion problems have one solution. Those who neglect to lose control and hand it all over, lose their momentum. Oh, but not you, 'cause you grasp the concept of redemption's play. You've got the power to withstand. Stopping the cycle may seem like too much to take. Hundreds of roads, but only one way. Understand the key principle. 8 billion problems have one solution, but those who neglect to lose control.
J. Brown. Interesting song.
Yeah, it was a different vibe. It was cool, though. It was cool.
It was like, man, it put me in another atmosphere, another realm, you know, from what
yeah,
we normally play. But we break
it. Yeah,
I was
about to take a little break real quick so you didn't have the show by yourself. Just vibe out, get my mind together. Just...
Absolutely, absolutely. Man, so it's a lot going on in the United States of America.
What are you telling me?
So now we can discuss, now that the furlough is over, the government is back in session, all this good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you know they revisit this again in 90 days. What's your take on that?
It's a lot as far as I'm not surprised. The issue is I'm not okay. This let me collect my thoughts. All right, so how can I say this without disrespecting anyone or offending? Okay, you know what? I'm gonna go another route. So this is my whole thing. I asked someone, asked the young lady, I said, are you afraid of the government shutdown? This is like when it was over. I asked her, was she afraid, was she worried? She said, yes. So I asked, why? And she said, I was afraid because I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know how this is going to affect. So I was watching, before I went to rehearsal today, I got a chance to see After Earth, by Will Smith, and it was starring Will Smith and his son, Jaden Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something really, really powerful to me. He said fear. He said he learned that fear was fake. Fear is imagination, because it's your imagination, because all you're doing is assuming something that's going to happen next. So his whole thing was to embrace right now, to get used to the smell and the taste, the senses of everything that's going on right now, and let's deal with right now. So there's no need to be afraid. If you know what's going on now, then what's to be afraid? So I say that to say that it really inspired me, because the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it talks about casting your burdens unto the Lord, and he shall sustain you. This whole thing about the Bible really shows us that there is no need to be fear. Even Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for today has its own concerns, right? So bringing all this together, dealing with this young lady, one, I was like, well, I asked her, well, if you're a child of God, then why are you afraid? Why does this bother you so dearly? Do you not believe that God will take care of his children? And the thing is, the government shutdown did happen, and now we are supposedly out of it for another 90 days and whatnot. And all everything happened, yet I'm still fine, you're still fine. I mean, people are still sustained.
Mm-hmm.
So I laid that whole thing out to say that there is a bigger plan going on. There is a plot going on. I really see the downfall of a lot, you know, as far as the setup for the Antichrist and everything, not immediately, of course, but I just see the snares of the enemy, how the enemy is using these tactics to deceive us, to take our eyes off of God, to be afraid, to be worried, to get all caught up, to be misconceived, like all this stuff. I really see all of this. So my more so thing is now, if any time, every day, there is a greater need of Bible for a person. Every single day. So tomorrow I'm going to need God more than I did today. And then the next day more than I did tomorrow. So what I'm saying is, with so much going on, it's important right now for people to get more rooted in the Word, because you're going to see a lot of ups and downs in the economy, a lot of ups and downs in our government. You're going to see a lot of things fail us that you put your trust in that's outside of God. So without me bashing or, you know, getting into the specifics of what's going on with the government sequence and everything like that, I do want to just say that there is a greater need of Bible foundation, of sound doctrine, of wisdom from God, of knowledge of God, of understanding from God, of love for one another, because I can definitely see how, check this out, how the economy formats itself to work against us. So, example, if the shutdown is causing people to lose jobs or causing a less amount of money to flow through the economy, now it leads to people being more greedy and selfish and concerned about their money. So you see less jobs being available. You see less money being funded or allocated to other sources. So now you see a greater urgency of a resource that is definitely controlled by other factors. So I'm just saying that to say that in order to prevent from a riot or a worry factor or confusion or insanity or depression, there has to be a greater than I that you trust in. There has to be a stronger source that's above all else, an unchanging source. And the Bible says that God is the Alpha and the Omega, how he never changes. He is yesterday as he is today and tomorrow. So I encourage, out of this whole thing, as an eye-opener, that with each day that passes, there's a greater need of God. And the only way to get them, it is only one truth, because you're going to have these pastors telling this new doctrine. You're going to have these random people and these unbelievers saying new doctrine. But the Bible is unchanging. It is what it is. It's fact. So that's what I encourage. That's what I'm going to say without crushing too many toes, if you get my drift.
Yeah. Also, and it's an interesting thing going on with this. For the simple fact, they settle on another 90 days right after the new year.
Yeah.
And it's starting, you know, in the new year, that's when we're going to start seeing the campaign for the next president.
Right.
That's going to be coming up shortly. When is our next election? Is it, where are we at now, 2013, 14? Is it the following? Hold on. 16, yeah. So they're going to start talking more as we go along. All of 2014, they're going to start talking about the real, you know, the next president.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be tied into that, see what people can do. You know what I mean? I hate the team factor in politics. The Democrats are doing this. The Republicans are doing that. Apparently, somebody did something for us to come up against what we're facing now. You follow me? So, overall, you just got to maintain and stay prayed up, because you cannot rely on your government, no matter how good things are going or how bad things are going.
Right.
You know, that's the keep that down. I don't want to get into too much of conspiracy theory and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
I feel you.
But it's a lot more going on than what's in the public eye.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, if you think about it, the whole government shut down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like.
No. Let's retract that. The whole government shut down, but we still
Congress.
Taking your taxes.
Yeah, of course. You know, Congress still gets paid.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. So it's pretty interesting how, I mean, what we're facing. And the whole world
right.
is watching. The whole world
right.
is watching. It's just, I think it's an amazing thing that how do we reach that ceiling?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the debt ceiling prevents people from working. Is that, I mean, like, I'm not understanding that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It reaches a certain point where people can't work. Parks, you know, limited resources, people that's applying for home loans, people that's applying for school loans,
yeah,
stuff like that. So it's affected all of that. It has affected all that. Some of the workers went back and they got back pay. But now these people have to live on eggshells, walk on eggshells, so to speak, because
yeah.
it's 90 days.
Right.
So it's not as secure, oh, I'm back to work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not like, okay, man, I found a job, not working now.
Yeah.
It's all temporary. So with that being said, I want to say this. What's going on in the football round? What's going on in the football world? Let's go with that. I need some sound effects, like some explosions. You know, we need some like sirens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, that would be nice. Okay, let's throw this. This is a bomb to the. Okay, let's start off with these scores here. Okay, right now we have 49ers playing the Texans. 49ers are winning 31-10. They beat the Titans 31-10. The Texans and the Chiefs are battling right now. The Chiefs are up 17-16. The Ravens are tied with Pittsburgh 16-16. Packers are beating the Browns 24-12. Let's get into the other games. We got some final scores. Seahawks beat the Cardinals 34-22. Seahawks are now 6-1. They make a moves. The Falcons beat the Buccaneers 31-23. The Redskins defeated the Bears, which I needed that to happen. And you know, they're in my division, so needless to say. I'll talk about that later. But anyway, the Redskins beat the Bears 45-41. It was an explosive game right there. I watched that in its entirety. The Cowboys defeated the Eagles 17-3. Michael Vick didn't play. Foles, he went out, and they went down to their third quarterback. So they ended up losing. Anyway, let's move on. The Jets beat the Patriots. In overtime, 30-27. The Bills beat the Dolphins, 23-21. The Chargers defeat the Jaguars. Sorry.
Okay.
24-6. Jaguars, they're winless right now. Sorry. The Panthers defeated the Rams, 30-15. And my Lions lost to the Cincinnati Bengals 27-24. They was going to head into overtime. They got the Bengals charged down the field to kick a field goal. So my team still remain – well, they remain tied with the Bears in that division. Depending on what Green Bay does, I think I have to look at their standings. But I really needed the Detroit win over – Cincinnati because the Bears lost. I was counting on the Bears to lose and Detroit to win, but it just didn't go that way. They both lost.
Mm. Yeah.
So right now, yeah, it's all good. But right now, Detroit Lions are 4-3. The Bears are 4-3.
Mm.
My thing is. If we would have won, if we would have been on top of the division, yeah, it's okay. Green Bay is playing. They're 3-2, so if they lose, they'd be 3-3. So, you know, the Bears and the Lions are tied for first in our division. It would have been better because we would have been tied, you know, we would have been leading that division, but however, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And Jaguars. Winless.
It's so bad because the city itself does not support the Jaguars.
it's crazy because Tampa, what's going on down in Florida? Tampa Bay is winless. Jaguars is winless. Also, New York Giants, they're winless right now. So, and some Florida teams, they got to get themselves together.
I mean, consider, too, Jaguars are a very young team, so. When you throw that factor in there.
That means they should be hungry.
What does it matter if you don't have the experience? That's like me and you playing tic-tac-toe, and I'm a two-year-old, and you're your age. And you're like, and I'm hungry to win, but I ain't got no experience.
It's just not happening. All right, let's do this. We'll get into let you regroup. We'll get into another song as we talk about the winless Tampa Bay. Well, Miami doing good, so we can't, you know, we can't say nothing too bad about the Dolphins.
Mm.
But however, Tampa Bay and the Jaguars, this song is dedicated to you guys. Providence. The title of this song is Refuses to Die. So, you guys got hope. Providence have hope for you guys. Let's go into a musical break. Providence Refuses to Die here on the Covenant Cafe. Your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
and the Jaguars and the Buccaneers, and they got to get better. They will.
I refuse to die. refuse to die, I refuse to die. If we ain't backing down, we refuse to live in sin. We ain't leaving this earth prematurely, we live in hell. I refuse to die, I refuse to die, I refuse to die, I refuse to die.
Yeah. There was a time when humanity was alone, and then Yahweh came on the earth and played the undercover boat. Secret millionaire, with every beast in the cattle on a thousand hills, take you higher than a thousand hills. You got a billion beamer thinking that you never. What a 28 when he sits on the universe. Sentenced to hell, they would surely deny bail. Try to throw away your weight, but you don't show up on the scale. I'm not a lad and I don't run bottles for which you think. That coke bottle is filled with poison, don't keep from drinking. Born in sin, so I spiritually died once, but he resurrected my life, so I march like the third month. Juggling juggernauts, grabbing them by the jugular. Jake Sully and Scully, I'm gully, you got enough. I spit bars to put my life on the line, like cypher walking, rebuking devils, giving sight to the blind. Shit!
Bro went hard.
He really went hard on that song, and it was needed.
Yeah.
It was needed.
Yeah.
But how,
went hard.
However, so what we're going to do now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into what we call the weird news segment, and what I have for you guys is... out of this world. Let's start off with this little piece right here. Now, check this out. It's Francisco Rafael Felix, Mexican drug lord. He was killed by an assassin in a clown costume.
Wow. Where this happened at? Did you say?
His name is Francisco Rafael.
Okay.
He's a Mexican drug lord. Killed by an assassin in a clown costume. I had to bring my voice down. I had to bring my voice down for that. That sounds like some movie type stuff. But anyway, let's get into the story. It says a high-ranking member of a once powerful drug clan was assassinated during a children's party by gunmen dressed as a clown. Authorities said Saturday at a children's party. You get that?
Mm.
Francisco Rafael Felix, the oldest brother of the Aureliano Felix cartel, was shot in the chest and the head at a rental house at the Cabo San Lucas Resort on the Baja California Peninsula. Multiple outlets reported this. All right, now the killer's disguise included a wig and a round red nose. At the pause right there. A motive for the killing was not immediately clear. If he's a drug lord, we can assume, right? Yes, we can assume. But beginning in the 1980s, the Arellano Felix cartel ran a lucrative drug business between California and the Mexican border city of Tijuana. The cartel was portrayed in the movie Traffic in 2000, where it was shown battling for power with a rival cartel from the Mexican city of Juarez. The cartel is said to have smuggled hundreds of tons of cocaine and marijuana, in addition to other crimes ranging from murdering informants to bribing law enforcement. Enforcement and military officers. Recently, however, a series of arrests and murders greatly diminished their power, according to the AP, although it reportedly continues to operate under the leadership of Francisco's sister, Edina. Okay, I'm going to spell this, ladies and gentlemen. E-N-E-D-I-N-A. Edmund, how would you roll with that? It's pretty interesting. Okay. Anyway, and her son Fernando, who is known as El Ingeniero, the engineer, That's what it goes to. Okay? I mean, goes by. Not goes to, goes by. Francisco may have not been one of the family's more influential members, but he was serving time in prison. He was serving time in prison in both the U.S. and Mexico for drug charges during much of the cartel's heyday. So they got him. They got him at a children's party. That's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for that to happen at a children's party.
Yeah, for real, for real. Wow.
All right, so let's get into the something's happened to my screen here. That's weird. So, I don't know. I'm going to have to come back with my stories later because my screen refreshed, so now it's doing a little circle thing, and I can't get into my little setup here.
Nah, it's all good because I got some news definitely I want to touch on. So our first story we're going to touch on is armed gun rights activist rally at Alamo. Check this out. In San Antonio, okay, several gun rights activists armed with rifles and shotguns rallied Saturday outside of the Alamo in demonstration that broke a long-standing tradition of not staging such events at the enduring symbol of Texas independence. The Come and Take It San Antonio rally was intended to draw attention to a right Texans already have, to carry long arms publicly so long as they don't do in a menacing manner. Organizers thought it necessary to offer a reminder after several open carry advocates were threatened with arrest at Starbucks in the city 2 months ago. The problem remains that a local ordinance effectively limits the open carrying of firearms to police and security guards. The ordinance was not enforced Saturday. San Antonio Police Chief Williams mingled in the crowd that police estimated at about 300 to 400. But the larger police presence remained around the perimeter of the Alamo Plaza. There are too many issues associated with trying to enforce every ordinance here today, Williams said. He said his priority was that people be able to exercise their consensual rights and that everyone remain safe. Volunteers walked through the crowd, placing red plastic straws in the rifle chambers, a visible assurance that they were not holding a round. Rally organizers said just holding their demonstration in front of police without incident was a victory. So, you know, basically, in short, what we have here going on, just long story short, that even from the name of the rally, Come and Take It, the issue is that they're the threatening of them carrying a firearm openly in public. That's an interesting thing. Can you imagine 400 gun-toting Texans rallying?
That's crazy.
How do you feel? What is your take on carrying a firearm in open? Openly carrying a firearm.
Well, you know, there's a law that says the right to bear arms, to have
correct
laws where you can go get the proper permit to do this. I feel sort of like the Wild West. If you watch the old movies, old cowboy movies, Western, whatever, you know, everybody's pretty much walking around with their gun on their hip. I don't know how much that's going to curb crime. If it's in your home and you have situations in your neighborhood and you feel threatened in your own home, you have to defend yourself, that's different. But just to say, hey, I got a gun on my hip, look what I got, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think it's necessary to walk around with it on the side. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it attracts a different type of people to you.
Right.
You know, because, okay, you got a gun. Now you may have somebody that want to test you to see if you can use it.
That is very true. Very true.
So I think that's where the problem that's where the problem lies. There was a store here, a restaurant or cafe here, that gave discounts if you came in and you had your gun on your hip. As a matter of fact, this guy was tortured by, I can't think of the guy's name on MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, I can't think of his name right now. But they interviewed him on MSNBC, and the guys on MSNBC made him look pretty bad because the guy was saying, you know, an increased safety in my establishment. But apparently they did a lot of research and they saw that this guy never had any crime, anything wrong
in the first place.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, so it was all about the dollar. And the guy didn't want to admit that it was all about the dollar. And that's what they were saying on MSNBC is, like, now you're actually attracting troublemakers
mm-hmm.
to your establishment that mm-hmm. may be scoping that out. You know, you don't know who's coming to your establishment, whether they're good or bad, whether they took their gun knowingly or unknowingly. You don't
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
They made him look bad. Long story, you know, he was just trying to say that, you know, he felt safer because these guys had guns and he will be less likely to be robbed or whatever. And they was like, well, no one has been robbed in your area in X amount of years, or you haven't been, you know, burglarized. So, yeah, it was amazing. But it was all about the dollar, you know. You know, going back to our John P. Key interview, where he's mm-hmm. like, look, I'm giving out, what did he do? They turned in their guns and drugs or whatever, and he was
mm-hmm.
giving them money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To be, you know, so they do actually have a lot of programs where you turn your gun in, you get X amount of dollars or whatever the situation may be. But I just don't think it's necessary to walk around with it openly. If it's concealed and you live in an environment that lends you to feel you want to need to protect you or yourself or your family or whatever, okay, you know, do so. But just to say you got a gun on your hip and walk around with it. And also, people collect guns. So if that's your collection in your house, hey, that's what it is, you know.
Right.
But I just don't. I don't get the whole open carry type deal. And I think it would be more interesting to see that many people with a gun. I'd be more afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you know it's a rally. People are charged about a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how they're going to react.
Right.
You know, so there you have it. That's my take.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. So as we move on, speaking of rallies, 100 Facebook friends show up to defend bully student and even gets an apology. So, a high school bully decided to apologize after 100 Facebook users showed up to rally behind a boy he had accused of having no friends. South Salem High School junior Hazley Parkson got a huge surprise on Friday when more than 50 cars showed up at his school to help him stand up to a local bully. K2 reports that on Thursday, Parkson's aunt had stopped by his school to have lunch with him. That's when a bully began taunting Parkson and saying it didn't matter because he didn't have any friends. Let me quote this. It didn't have to any friends. Parkson told his aunt that it happened all the time. In response, she reached out to an online car club she belongs to on Facebook and asked people to show up to the school for lunch on Friday. In response, more than 50 cars showed up carrying at least 100 people. And CatsU's Erica Nochlin was there as well with a camera crew in tow. It's just unbelievable, Parkinson told CatsU. I now know whenever I get bullied, I'll raise my hand up and say, sorry, I have too many friends to think I'm being bullied. And the story just gets better from there. When Parkinson and his new friends approached the unnamed bully, he offered Parkinson a high five and an apology. I apologize, the student whose identity is being withheld told Parkinson. I apologize and I take it back. When the massive cars first showed up at South Salem High School on Friday, Principal David Phelps was immediately alerted of an unusual incident. However, once he learned why all the visitors had showed up, he decided to let the event continue. As the story reads on, I think that is an awesome thing, just for the fact that, you know, standing up for somebody that you don't know, standing up for them. I mean, bullying, as you know, has been a very major issue. And, you know, we always hear about, you know, we got to stop bullying. You know, you see people posting and this and that from time to time. But I really appreciate this story because they took it from off of Facebook to reality and actually made a difference. So it's one thing for me to post something all day, but it's another thing for me to actually be a part of a movement. And this is not a movement like, oh, we trying to get sponsors and this and that, da, da, da. I mean, it was a movement of a bunch of people getting together saying, we're going to stand up for this kid. Mm-hmm. We're actually going to pull up and in something that continues on a daily basis. And not only that, that's a self-esteem raiser. Because how many times often do we hear about kids who were bullied so much became suicidal or they became murderers or they just got lost in the system? So this was a game changer. This is what we call a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely want to give a kudos to all those in Salem who, you know, showed face and participated and actually was there for this young man, because it literally talks about how now he's no longer ashamed. He literally has friends.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was a story on 60 Minutes where this lady, I think it was Texas, somewhere out west, where a student in her class, a little elementary class, apparently was bullying other kids, and she was accused of she went to court and all this other stuff, but she was accused of having the kids line up and hit the kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So she ended up losing her job and her teacher's license and all kind of stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
What would make her do that? Did she have a vendetta against the kid's parent or the kid itself?
Well, apparently she said she only had one person hit him back to teach him a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But what the story has is that it was a line of students lined up to hit him back.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
well,
she was, you know, she was crying, saying she didn't do it, and, you know, the kid said she did do it, so, and, you know, I think that's crazy in itself.
Mm.
You know, why would you even go that route?
Wow.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, crazy. So, my last story that's even crazier than what you just said, pot. Legalization efforts move eastward to Maine. In Portland, Maine, advocates of recreational marijuana use are looking to an upcoming vote in Maine as indicators of whether the East Coast is ready to follow the footsteps of Colorado and Washington by legalizing cannabis. Voters in Portland are being asked whether they want to make it legal for adults 21 and over to possess, but not purchase or sell, up to 2.5 ounces of pot. The November 5th vote is being eyed nationally as momentum grows in favor of legalizing marijuana use. The Marijuana Policy Project, a Washington, D.C.-based group that supports legalization, says it targeted Portland because it's Maine's largest city and because, unlike many other states and cities, it has an initiative process to get the referendum on the ballot. Organizers hope passage of or a Portland initiative could spur similar results in other liberal Northeast cities. So as a story, it's really crazy. It's amazing to me that this is actually up for grabs. It's up for debates, and it's in favor that marijuana, if you're at the age of 21, you can possibly possess 2.5 ounces of marijuana, and it'd be cool.
Wow.
And that's it. That's cool. I mean, there's nothing. So it's like now the thing is that I'm seeing, which is crazy, is how the rules and the boundaries is starting to merge into transparency.
Mm-hmm.
So now, literally, it's do as you feel. Oh, you think you're gay? Cool. Get married. Oh, you feel like getting high? Cool. Get high.
I don't know how true it is, but someone had told me, I need to do some research, someone had told me that in Atlanta, there's a gay church. One of my coworkers said that there's in Atlanta, that there's a gay church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people tell you stuff, but I don't believe anything I hear. But if that in fact is true, wow.
Right. And when you say gay church, is it a church just for gays, or is it like a gay? So it's like, what are they preaching? Gay doctrine? Like, I'm trying to understand.
I didn't get into all that because I was so thrown, and we was in the middle of doing something, you know, transitioning between things that work. So I was like, really? I was supposed to get back with them, but I never really got back with them on that.
Mm.
But I think that was quite interesting. If that in fact is true, I think that's, wow. I think that'll be an interesting situation to see. You know, because that is really big right now.
I just looked up one church, NWUUC, Northwest Altitarian Universalist Congregation. This year, Universalist Congregation is a caring, open-minded, liberal religion. Our congregation are places where people gather to nurture their spirits and put their faith into action by helping to make our communities and world a better place. The NWUC extends a warm welcome to Atlanta's lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgender, and queer individual families and communities. We work to promote acceptance, inclusion, understanding, and... All right, so what do they preach? That's what I want to know. Do they preach? What are they preaching? It's almost like a community and not necessarily... But they said they're a religion. This is my thing. The thing is, homosexuals are welcome to Church of Jesus Christ, to the Church of Jesus Christ. You're welcome. The issue is we're not commending that lifestyle. And the thing about it is that, any fornication outside of marriage is unacceptable. So even heterosexuals are not allowed to fornicate. But the thing is, homosexuals are not allowed to marry either. So for you to go start your own religion, you're not necessarily rebelling against society or the church, as people like to put it, but you're rebelling against God and His Word. Because now you're literally trying to rewrite a Bible. And it's no, it's not yin, and it's not like, oh, I'm stuck this way, this is what it is, ain't doing the way, there is other ways. You can literally change your life. That's amazing.
So that are they saying it's open minded or okay, they're not saying at all in that information there what they're actually teaching.
Sermons. I am very curious about what are they teaching, but it doesn't say who's their Lord and Savior. They talk about a human spirit. I don't think they're teaching Bible. I really don't, because I haven't seen the Bible. I haven't seen God. I haven't seen Jesus yet, and I'm searching through here now. So, ministers, children, religious, education, UU principles, let's see. Maybe we can find something here. This is interesting, though, but y'all excuse this awkward silence.
I think it's very interesting because it's just another level of what's going on in our society.
Correct.
You know, the wrongs, the rights, and stuff like that.
Right.
I just think it's an incredible and very interesting that's even going on to that level.
Right.
Where you say, okay, let's get a building. Okay, this is our church for us. You know, so, I don't know. It's a very interesting subject overall. So what we're going to do as we get more information on this, I'm going to go into a song, and then we'll come back and maybe discuss a little of this and maybe see if Deacon's around. We haven't talked to Deacon a little bit.
Maybe Deacon, yeah, Deacon.
So we're going to get into a song by Dietrich Haddon, The More I Praise, here on the Covenant Cafe. We will be right back and try to figure out what's going on here. And not here in Atlanta, because we're not in Atlanta. In Atlanta. We'll be right back. I was saying we would be right back, but for some reason, the song is not playing. It's in that load mode. But as it does that, I don't know if it's going to break into the song. I don't know. I may need to refresh our system here. But I don't know what just happened. That's weird. But overall, dealing with that type of situation, they're going to, I think it's going to be a different whole society. I think it's going to be, in the near future, it's going to be a whole different society.
Yeah.
For the simple fact that they're saying it's sort of like the civil rights movement. We had this discussion before. It's
right.
It's nothing like the civil rights movement at all.
You're right. I agree 100%.
It's nothing like it's no. There has been isolated incidents, yes, where someone has probably did something wrong to a homosexual, whatnot. Isolated incident, you know, but as far as big riots and you can't come in this door, you can't sit on this bus, you can't eat at this table. That's not happening at all. So I just think in the near future, I would say the next 10 to 15 years, there will be that type of situation where it's going to be that particular society, you know, there's going to be a whole different society. I mean, if it's coming down to the, you know, their community centers. I've seen community centers that were lesbians. You know, now we're seeing there may be, you know, churches. So I think there's going to be a whole slew of different events that's going to be happening that's going to lend to that type of thing.
Yeah.
And I definitely wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, then there's this whole thing of that they were born this way.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was, you would see certain things happening, like with children.
Uh-huh.
As a child, you play with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then you eventually start to lean towards, you know, if you're a boy, lean towards the girls. If you're a girl, start lean towards the boys.
Right.
And then what happens now, it's kind of introduced in different movies and stuff. I was watching, Paranorman.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, it's a kids' movie, and you know, nowadays they have a lot of messages for the adults and stuff like that. Because of course, you know, adults take the kids in the movie. But the girl wanted to get with this guy, and the guy was like, "Oh no, my boyfriend's not gonna like that." You know, the guy
mm-hmm.
said that. He said that my boyfriend's not gonna like that.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, really?
I've heard about that too.
And I'm like, well, of course the kids miss it because they don't know
mm-hmm.
nothing about it.
Exactly.
So it's a choice. And now I was subbing in the elementary school, a sixth grade class, and there's a guy, kid there, that he said he chooses to be, because one of the kids, I'm not laughing, but I am laughing, but one of the kids, they were out in the playground, and the kids said, so-and-so is season, you know, let's make a name. Billy is season Joe,
mm-hmm.
and then Joe came over. No, Billy came over and said, no, I'm not teasing him. And then Joe came over and said, yeah, he's teasing me, saying that I'm gay. I'm not gay. I'm bi.
No, you gay, bro. But anyway, go ahead.
And this is a sixth grade class. A sixth grade class.
Mm.
So, what is happening where our children are choosing?
Right.
Choosing to be that way.
Mm hmm.
I think it's a sign of our times of that type. Like I said, that type of society is going to be. It's going to be a whole society. You probably see a slew of little shops and stores that cater to that environment.
Yeah. What's interesting, one, like you said, they are introducing it to our youth. I remember coming up, you know, it was a curse. If you were gay or you did something gay, and it was just, you get picked on, and nobody wanted to go down that road. So you would actually over-exaggerate your masculinity or even your you know, you're strictly, you know, what females say, you are over-exaggerated just to assert your place in society as, you know, quote-unquote abnormal. So now what has shifted? What was the change down the line to where now it's okay? That one thing, of course, is a problem because, like you said, they are implementing it in our television shows, cartoons, animation, children's shows, period. They're making it more acceptable. On the other end, too, to a certain degree, you know, I don't necessarily say this to everyone because people can run off in the wrong direction with it. You know, when people say they were born gay and this is who they are, I can give you that you were born into sin, and sin, that sin nature is inside of you. So, of course, you naturally want to rebel against God because you have people that is born liars, born murderers, born all kind of stuff that is just rebellion against God. But ultimately, you choose whether you want to continue to rebel against God. And even if a desire, because, you know, people have a desire to lie. People have a desire to have sex. People have a desire to eat. People have a desire to do so much. They're, we'll say, homosexuality. People, those desires are there. But you have to choose whether you want Jesus to be your source to conquer this desire, or who do you love greater? Remember, I was saying before, your love for God has to be greater than your happiness. So you literally will have to crucify yourself. Mm. So, like, there's things, I don't want to be abstinent anymore. That's being real. But literally every day I have to crucify myself and remain abstinent until I get married, period. So it's not about me. It's a literal crucifixion. It's suicide. I'm putting myself on a cross every single day and denying the thing that I want that is against God's standards. So even if that were the case for somebody to be, it's in their genetics, it's in their blood, they're born gay, even if that is the case, then you're going to have to deny yourself and start living under God's standards. And that's even to the point of making a sacrifice against what you want. If you just feel like your desire to be with somebody is so, a male or same sex is so strong, then if that's the case, then you don't be with nobody. You're not born to be with anybody. I mean, and that's just real talk. Let's keep it real then, because is it better to be rebelling against God and be happy, or to love God and deny yourself, and to be in God's peace denying yourself? So the issue comes down to also with society, man. Society is compromising. When it comes down to Jesus and faith, we compromise. We compromise on God's standards. Well, let's do this. This is hard. This and that. But if it takes to go to the Super Bowl, you train them hard. To get a good job, you get an education, you stay in school as long as it takes to get that. No compromise. When it comes to get like applications, filling out applications, you stay and fill out the whole thing even if you got stuff to do. When it comes to getting to work on time, you're willing to not eat and to get there on time. But when it comes to God and Jesus and his standards, you compromise. He'll understand. God will understand. God knows my heart. This is how I was. This is how I'm born. And that's a problem. There lies the problem. So, I definitely, like I said, it makes me mad, and it's like I said earlier in the show when we were talking about taking heed to who you are, filtering your self-evaluating yourself and filtering what you put in. You know, you can think you got it all going on, but you could be living a lie. You could be living in deception, thinking everything is so good, not realizing. I heard this quote, it's a horrible thing to be a slave and think you're free. So can you imagine working on a plantation, slaving and getting beaten every day, and you believing that this is the way of life? This is how it's supposed to be. That's a horrible thing. So it takes someone to really to step outside. Sometimes it takes a free person to come up and tell you, man, you're not free. You're actually a slave. So what we have to do, we have to stop getting mad or stop quieting the people who are in freedom, telling us that we are slaves. And if you were thinking about that, it really makes you mad. Like, I remember when I found out, I'm gonna stick to the sex example because that's very dominant in our society. When telling one of my friends, like, bro, you're supposed to wait until marriage. Man, you don't come back around here no more, bro. You're like, you killing my vibe. What? So because I'm free and liberated and told you that what you're doing is slavery, bro. Like, you having sex with all these different girls, bro, that's slavery, bro. It's not good. It's gonna kill you in the long run. You're more vulnerable to STDs like this. You're not accepting God's will or his standard for your life. There's a chance of unwanted pregnancy. There's a chance of girls getting caught up and wanting to kill you. There's a chance that dudes want to kill you because you're sleeping with their girlfriends and wives. Man, bro, you're killing my vibe. So a free man just told you a slave, and you're mad. We have to do a better job on receiving word.
Absolutely. Hold on, let's go to our line here. We have a caller on our line. Let's see if we can pull this caller up. Caller, you're on the air with the Covenant Cafe.
Hello?
Yes, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, who do we have here on the line?
This is Kendall Triplett. I'm one of your guests for, I guess, the next hour, the next segment.
Kendall Triplett, what's happening?
How's it going?
Man, all is well. All is well, man. We've been waiting on you to call. But
there it is. That's a dog pound right there. Dog pound.
Now we're just messing with you, Kendall.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Kendall,
I didn't hear anything. It was a bunch of static, so I didn't catch anything you said just a minute ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we said we've been waiting on you to call for the last 30 days, and finally you're here.
Hey, a bunch of scheduling conflicts. Yeah, I called in one time, and we had some technical difficulties, so we had to reschedule. Yes, sir.
Nah, it's all good, Kendall. So, It's an honor to have you, man, especially having any man of God to come on the show and to share with us, man. It's always a beautiful thing, and it's a privilege. So I am Poetic Lace, and I will be conducting today's interview. So are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
So what I like to do is call it a blind interview. And a blind interview basically is we're going to pretend that I never promoted you, I never heard of you, I never read your bio, I know nothing about you, nor do the people. So for starters, who is Kendall Triplett?
Well, just to keep it really simple, I am a singer-songwriter from Arkansas. An ambassador for Christ. Ministry is most important to me. Music is secondary. It's just all about him for me. So I sing, I write, and I sing other people's material as well. But just to sum it up, I am an ambassador of Christ. Just singing, trying to compel others to be reunited with God. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. So how did you get involved in the singing / songwriting business?
Well, it's a ministry for me, but I've been singing since 5 years old. I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor. My mom was a singer and a pianist.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always were in smaller churches. So my mom would usually sing, and she would always have me sing with her. So that's really where I started out, is in the church and just kind of, you know, learning. I started playing, kind of tinkering with the keys a little bit. So I played piano just a little bit. So just started out in the church and just kind of grew, you know.
Good stuff. Now, this is what I love, because a lot of people don't catch my wording, but you caught it right on point. I said, what got you into business, and the first thing you responded was, this is a ministry. So
right.
I love that response. So with that being said, I want you to, you know, tell us, why is it a separation to you as far as business and ministry? Why is there such a big, dramatic, as far even in the wording?
Well, you know, I'm not a spring chicken. I've been not to just come out and tell you my age, but I've been pursuing this for a good long while, and I've gone through many changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one point in time, I was really more concerned with, you know, signing with a label and trying to get discovered and you know, blow up pretty much.
Right.
And that my perspective has changed. Just and so I'm really thankful for this time that, that I call a waiting period. Because God has shown me my purpose, and it's really come back to ministry. So that's very, very important. And, you know, not to knock anybody's hustle, but I see far too many artists out there, you know, trying to promote their brand, and it's all about their swag. And, you know, it's all about them. And I hear the Lord saying, well who's going to go for me? You know, who's going to rep me? Who's going to... Who's going to put my agenda first? And so I've just made it my business, and I've made a decision to put him first in everything that I do. And the rest, you know, Matthew 6:33, I believe, says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be." So as I'm diligent to put him first, then the door of opportunity will surely swing open.
Good stuff. Good stuff. You're saying some words of from a place of experience, right, as if there is a testimony that follows you. So definitely, we want to know what caused you to be so motivated or so stern in, okay, I'm going to do this for God. And the thing is, what I really wanted to chew at, just so I can take it off from the surface, where did you come from? What is the thing about you? Because the thing is, I've come from a community that's what we call urban, and a lot of people feel that, okay, I see you doing your thing, and I see that you love God, da, 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 but what about me? I feel that I'm so far gone. How can I relate to you that's going to inspire me that I can get up from where I'm at and be successful in the kingdom of God?
Well, you know, I'm not called to reach every single person. I think that's we have so many different personalities and so many different experiences that will reach someone. You know, we're called to reach whoever God has, you know, God has, he's touched us to reach some group, some person. But I think what comes from the heart reaches the heart, and certainly the trials, the tests, appointments, the setbacks, the things that we've been through, it just really, I'm coming to learn this, it's just a testimony. It's just a testimony, so it strengthens when I'm getting up to sing or even speak. It just really, really makes it real, and it comes forth, and it resonates with someone. So it comes from my heart, and it comes from a sincere, genuine place, and then someone else can relate to what I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
It's just all keeping it genuine, keeping it all about God, and it's going to minister to somebody. Somebody's going to connect with it.
Right. Good stuff. Good stuff. So, is there any experience that a life changing experience for you that you would love to share to the audience that may inspire them or encourage them in their walk?
Well, there's so many things, you know, that so many setbacks. I think mainly for me is I have gone through my ups and downs just trying to find my purpose. I've always wanted to sing gospel and do it professionally, but I didn't always, you know, think that I could do it. And so just the whole struggle with wanting to be successful in it and just getting disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And, you know, so someone may be striving to do something big or great, and they feel like all the doors are closed. They feel like they're locked in a closet or in a room, and they can't get out. And I will tell you this. I did go through a period of depression because as I stated, I'm a church boy, and, you know, I just kind of, a few years ago, about 4 years ago, I just kind of I gave up my faith and my confidence in God because I said, here I am, you know, all these years I've been serving you, God, I've been faithful, and I've never tried to get proud away from you. I've never wanted to do anything but sing gospel. And seems like you are holding out on me. It seems like, I mean, I turned on God. I got mad at him. I got offended with him. And that was not good because it really, it opened the door to the all negativity. It opened the door to the enemy. And, you know, I didn't stop going to church, but I allowed I allowed bad thoughts and things to come up on me, and I didn't care anymore. And so I dealt with depression and even thoughts of just ending it all, you know. And so I know that I had some people praying for me because I just, a light came on. And I think I even, I think I felt death so close to me that it even scared me and it shook me. And I said, wait a minute, I've got to turn around. I've got to. I'm going down a dark road, and this is getting too serious. So I turned around, and I ran back to God, and I humbled myself to him, and, you know, and I apologized to him. And, you know, he showed me that I had a bad attitude. He showed me that I had a spirit of pride because I felt like everything was about me. You know, when are you going to bless me? When is the door of opportunity going to open for me and me? And, you know, I didn't realize that's prideful. And God let me know that he can't use me like that. So, right. So ever since then, about 4 years ago, I've been a student of the Word. I've been getting to know him in a greater way, in a more intimate way. And ministry has become really, really important to me. And so I'm going to segue into a current project that I'm working on entitled Lose Myself. And it's really coming from Matthew 10:39. It says, whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And so that is really, really true. You know, I was trying to find my life because the devil had me thinking, if I don't make it happen for me, it's not going to happen. And, you know, I got to get what's mine, and I got to go for it, you know. But God is saying, if you will give up the lower life for me, for my sake, then, you know, I will do everything. In fact, I will exceed whatever, everything that you wanted and thought about. You know, I'll do more, much more than that. So, Lose Myself has been a great blessing. And just humility. I've been really, really making a point to be humble. And, in fact, when I find myself getting off track or getting discouraged, you know, I check my humility. And it's usually not where it should be. And when I put it back into its place, when I humble myself, then things just get, they smooth out. So I encourage the listener to always be humble. There's a verse in the Bible that says God gives grace to the humble, and that has been a lifeline scripture for me. So that's a long answer to the question that you asked me, but
that's
hopefully
good stuff.
Something was
good
said.
Stuff.
Yeah.
That's the good stuff. Now, your project, You Can Do Anything, that's the song that we have here. Can you give us a little background on that song? Like, how did that song come about? Or
yes, sir. Yeah, thank you so much for asking me that question. You Can Do Anything is my teaser single. It is on the album. It's been out for it came out like in January, actually. But a young lady by the name of Delisha Thomas, she is a Grammy-nominated songwriter. She wrote that song for me, and she did vocal production with me in the studio, and she's involved with the project. But she used to be with Rodney Jerkins and the Dark Child camp, and she's written for Beyonce, Justin Bieber, Janet Jackson, J-Lo, she's written for, she's also done gospel, like Joanne Rosario and Kiara Sheard, Monique Walker. She's had her hand in a lot, and she is an amazing Christian young lady, and she and I have become good friends. And so she actually wrote the song, and some of her backgrounds are on her vocals are on the track as well. But yeah, she's very very thorough, and she's been a godsend. But yeah, that song basically says, if God is for you, if He is in you, and He is with you, and once you realize that, there's nothing that can stop you.
Okay, so what we're gonna definitely is. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna get into the song, and can you hang around because we're gonna come back to you after the song?
Sure, I'm here.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you have it, Kendall Triplett. You can do anything here on the Covenant Cafe. Let's get into it.
Wondering if this is really living.
Trying to get out,
just get out the box.
Feeling trapped inside,
cause it's been locked up.
You dream big and you keep believing, praying that this is a wishful thinking. Feeling your faith
about to drop, drop, drop.
But you know you're not
gonna stop, stop, stop.
Oh no, not when there's more. Better will come after the storm. So throw on all the pain, just
keep on fighting. Yeah, yeah.
Get hard, get you so low that you lose heart. Remember, with God on your side, you will win this. Yeah, yeah. Can overtake you.
I know he won't lie.
And his promises
prove themselves each time.
Don't let a devil in the world convince you. Powerless, and there's nothing you can do. Get on your face
and then watch out.
He'll turn around
so you will not lose.
Oh no, not when there's more. Better will come after the storm. So throw on all the pain, just keep on fighting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And although things can get hard,
minutes. So, Lace is going to wrap this up. I would definitely appreciate you calling in on your time off. Oh, I don't know if you're grinding at your house still writing right now or not, but we definitely appreciate you taking time to call in to the show.
Oh, thank you all. I really appreciate the opportunity. I just thank y'all. And may I mention I have a campaign right now up on Kickstarter, and actually I have like two more days left, and I'm trying to get everybody to go there and pledge to help me finish up my album. And if they can just go to Kendall Triplett, that's KendallTriplett.com, you'll get the information, get the details on the campaign, and I would really, really appreciate your support.
Definitely.
Well, as a matter of fact, this is what I want to close out with. Definitely wanted you to share all your website, your Twitter, your Facebook. How can we follow you? If you have any upcoming events, pretty much, you know, this space is for you to just share with the audience all your stuff, even if where we can buy your music from. Anyway, just put yourself out there so we can get in touch and stay in touch.
Certainly, certainly. Yeah, the song that you just heard, You Can Do Anything, that's up on iTunes now. I have my project that I've been working on is halfway completed. I'm trying to raise funds to get the rest of it finished up. And if you just go to my website, you can link up with me on Twitter, Facebook, Reverb Nation, and I'd love to chat with everybody there. So just go to that one central location, my website. That's Kendall Triplett, KendallTriplett.com.
Definitely good stuff.
Awesome. Can you share that website one more time? Let you go.
Be my pleasure. It's KendallTriplett.com. That's KendallTriplett.com.
Awesome. And it was a pleasure having you and hearing your music. We wish you much success in the near future, man. You keep pushing and you stay encouraged in the Lord. And as you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So keep pressing, bro.
Thank you so much. Please have me back. It was fun.
Yes, sir.
That's what he will.
All right.
Appreciate
you. God bless y'all.
God bless you, too.
God bless you, too.
Awesome, man. That song was dope.
That was dope. It kind of a little bit reminded me of J Moss, just a little bit, How it was that pop feel, you know, nice singing vocals, just a little bit. It was nice. It was a dope track, man. Dope track.
Absolutely. All right, so since we're in our last stretch, let's get our words to live by for this week.
All righty. Definitely. So our words to live by for this week, it actually comes from, I already figured that. It's going to come from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And it reads, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So the thing that I want y'all to really keep in mind is that we know what love is. And we know what love is from 1 Corinthians 13, how love thinks no evil, love does not boast, love is long-suffering, you know, love is these things about love. So if we know what love is, we know not to incorporate love with the world. So, example, I'm not going to – my TV, that's a part of the world. So I should not be long-suffering with my TV. I should not be making sacrifices for my TV over people. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of thing that I'm getting at. I'm not telling you not to appreciate what God has blessed you with, but what I am saying is to not put it above human life, especially God's people as well. So with that being said, we want to keep in mind that this world is passing away. So if this world is passing away, we're not to put our love into something that's going to not be the same. So example, baggy jeans. Baggy jeans used to be the style. Now you got skinny jeans. Then you got regular jeans. Like it's passing away. It's going to keep changing. So why would you put your love into a fashion when it's not even stable? Cars, cell phones. Cell phones used to be small. It used to be cool to have big cell phones, and then they got small. Now, as you see, they're getting big. So why even put your – even the technology is constantly changing. So why fall in love with something that's constantly changing? Things are fads. So with that being said, God – we mentioned earlier how God is unchanging. God is the same. And if you love this world, you don't love God. That's what we just read. And to show that you – to live forever truly, to be in God's presence, is to just do his will. So for this week, what I encourage is less love in these material and tangible things and more love in the Father and his will. Asking God and telling God, God, have your way in my life. And asking God, what is your will for my life? What is the purpose? What are the things that you want me to do? What is it that I can do that will be pleasing to you? How can I deny and crucify myself today so that you get the glory? And it can be as small as you at work, and somebody go off on you, and the Lord say, hold your tongue. That's the will of the Father for you for this day. You know what I mean? Watching your mouth. Cheating people with love and kindness. It's simple. It's not, you don't have to be Lamont Ferguson. You don't have to be Poetic Lace. You don't have to be Bishop, Archbishop, Pastor, da-da-da-da, to be doing the will of the Father. You do the will of the Father by loving people, by following his commandments, by not stealing from the job, by not being angry with everyone, by not killing, by not doing, not raising up idol gods, by not praising other men, but loving the Lord, our God. So that's what I encourage for this week. Well, for your life.
You know, that's what it is. Oh, man, got all choked up. That's, you know, people get caught in love with things so fast.
Right.
You know, your whole material things fast. And I hate to play the race card, but especially us. You know, tennis shoes, rims out, and then they pull into a small spot, you know, one bedroom apartment.
Right.
And once you go inside, not just the apartment itself, but you go inside, you know, no food on the shelves. You know, just struggling. But
yeah.
On the outside, it looks like, okay, you're doing well. People like to put on masks. You know, just be yourself. You know, if you don't have a lot of money, get what you can afford. So you can keep food in the house. If you go get a car and your car payment is, car note is $400, and you know that you barely can make $400. You need to get something that's in the 200 to 300 range, so at least can reach it and not have to stretch. And I see it all the time. You know, I worked in an alternative school setting, and you know, these kids talk about they got $200 shoes and $200 things, but you know, they're struggling. So that's not falling in love with material things, ladies and gentlemen. That's all we're trying to say. Fall in love with the Lord. Don't be afraid. If you're having trouble, call on him. If you're doing good, call on him. Remember, it's too late to call on him. And if you especially want to call on him when you're doing good, because it shows appreciation.
Yeah.
Just like when someone gives you money, you say thank you, right?
Right, right.
So there it is. So you want to give them thanks for the good things and give them thanks for your trials and tribulations that you're going through, because that makes you stronger. That's what makes,
right.
You know, if you have practice, if you're in sports, you have to practice. If you're doing a show, a play, you have to rehearse. So
right.
Reading your Bible is rehearsing.
Yeah.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Covenant Cafe. We will see you or talk to you next week. Here at the same time, same channel. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
We'll see you later.
this is the outro, so long, farewell. This ain't goodbye forever, but only time will tell. We had some funny moments, real talking interviews. Every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time we do this. Build you up, encourage you. This is the